When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Welcome into a special off-season free agency episode of Stone Cold Shows. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Polillo and at JoshJordan975 and read their work on sportsmap.com. The dominoes are falling quickly as free agency signings and trades are happening all over the league. But I'm AB positive we still don't have news on a certain third baseman. Before we get into it, just a big shout out to everyone who's been listening and watching this offseason. You guys helped us hit that 25,000 sub benchmark on YouTube, and we've been in and out of the top 10 on baseball podcasts over the past couple of weeks. There's literally no podcast without you guys. So thank you to everyone. We really do appreciate all the support. All right, gents. We heard reports a couple of weeks ago that Alex Bregman would not make a decision until after Christmas. He seems to certainly still be on that timeline. One of the things I've noticed about the Bregman free agency is, unlike other Astros farm-grown talent like Springer and Correa, the Astros fans have, in my opinion, rightly identified that Alex Bregman's departure is on Alex Bregman. He was offered a fair contract. He reportedly wanted more years. The Astros did what was in their best interest, which was decisively fill needs on their roster. There hasn't been much noise about teams in serious conversations with Boris, and he has seemingly lost a big piece of leverage by not having Houston in the mix here. Without knowing what he eventually signs for, how do you think his team, Bregman's team, handled his free agency? And do you think maybe they overestimated the market?
Scott Boras has such a track record of finding that one mega bidder that I think we need to let the hand play out. But at this point, yes, I think Alex Bregman thinks of himself as a superstar. He's not. He hadn't been in 5 years. Scott Boras can turn his amusingly corny lines, you know, what comes after A, B, C, championship. Well, not the last 2 years. I mean, let's not talk about division championships, right? And Bregman is not that kind of needle mover as an individual player. So the teams are going to trip over themselves to offer him 8 years, $225 million. That's teams plural. Is there one, you know, a team that doesn't land Corbin Burns? Steve Cohen wakes up with a wild hair. Ah, what's another $200 million? Just give it to him if they're not keeping Pete Alonso. The Yankees have made multiple other moves. I'd be surprised now if they jumped in on Bregman. But when you're battling with the Mets, you know, could Hal Steinbrenner say, okay. But you hit it. 6 years, $156 million was an absolutely fair offer. Frankly, an overpay for what Bregman likely will be worth over the 6 years of the contract. But the last laugh should not come at Alex Bregman's expense just yet.
Yeah, we're kind of in a strange spot as Astros fans where he's gone, but he's not officially gone because he hasn't signed anywhere yet. So it's like, you know, the breakup's coming. It just hasn't become official. But I guess I'm not surprised. I figured Boris would take his time and find a way to just get as much for Bregman as possible. And I kind of figured somebody out there would be willing to scratch him that check. His leadership, great defense, and you know, he's not the hitter he once was, but he's still a good hitter. So I guess I'm not that surprised, Brandon, but as Charlie mentioned, you know, we'll see when the contract finally comes down if he ultimately made the right move. I think for Astros fans, you saw that they gave him a fair offer, and he's the one deciding that he wants to play elsewhere, and he thinks he can get more, and that's cool. You know, you can look at your fan base and say, hey, we tried. We didn't want to give him an 8-year deal where, you know, the back of the contract is a disaster. I think it's just tough when you lose Tucker and you lose Bregman in the same offseason to kind of get used to what the new look Astros are going to look like here. So I'm a little disappointed as a fan, but you know, as soon as Walker blasts one in the Crawford boxes, I'm going to be excited. I'm going to be rooting for my team.
Josh, you're right. It's still not official. And what was interesting is that back in October, Bregman tweeted, "Thank you, Houston." And Josh, you pointed out before we even hit record on this episode that it was Espada that pulled Breggy from his last regular season game so he could get that curtain call to the fans. So the departure has seemed like an eventuality up until this point. But there is the Jose Altuve factor. He was more vocal about Bregman than he was with some of the guys like Springer and Correa. We haven't heard from him since, but we did hear from Dana Brown. He spent all offseason saying that Bregman was their number one priority. But then, you know, after they make their offer and they don't hear anything, he goes out and makes moves that essentially push Bregman out of the lineup. If you could inject Jose Altuve with truth serum, what do you think he'd say about this Bregman situation?
Qualified, I'm not going to say anger, bummed outness. Now, the rules are if we play music, we're getting big, big trouble, right? I'm guessing that's the right. Same is true for if we sing. Well, I'm not going to sing anyway. Am I allowed to read a quick paragraph of song lyrics? Or is that a no-no either, Brandon?
I think as long as you're not singing, I think we're in
all right. We're all better off for that. So yes. Here we go. From the, I think, late, if not necessarily great, Mary Hopkin. "Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we choose. We'd fight and never lose, for we were young and sure to have our way." So Altuve's feeling nostalgia and things, if not crumbling around him, just changing, right? He didn't pitch a fit when Springer left, who was here for losing with him, or Gerrit Cole, or Carlos Correa, his double play combo buddy. But Bregman's the tipping point because, due respect to Lance McCullers Jr., Bregman's the last guy here who matters from the most glorious years of this glorious Astros era. Frankly, Altuve should be more upset with losing Kyle Tucker at 27 years old, about to be 28, than Bregman about to be 31. But at least they traded Tucker, whereas Bregman, they're going to get a fourth-round draft pick. So you remember the best of times, and when in the Astros case, they truly were the very best in two separate seasons. But Altuve has to accept that the team is not vastly worse losing Alex Bregman with Walker and Paredes on the corner versus Singleton and Bregman. Generally speaking, that's at least a push for the Astros. The issue is Tucker out and, oh boy, currently as a third outfielder. That's where the drop-off is. So Altuve ever saying, oh, we should pay Breggy whatever he wants. That's what he's... No. That's a player sharing an agent who probably doesn't understand the implications of collective bargaining agreements and tax plateaus. Because like for all of us, Jim Crane's money is not Jose Altuve's money. So sure, spend it all.
I think Altuve is realizing I'm the exception here. I'm the outlier. I'm the one that got a second big contract and stayed here. And part of that is because Altuve gave the Astros a reasonable, fair deal. And if Bregman wants to go get as much as he can, he is going to have to go to another team to get that bigger contract. And that's fine. You know, do you. I'm not going to tell you how to make your money. But Altuve, you should just... that's respect that they decided to pay you this long-term deal, because that's not something the Astros are comfortable doing. And it clears it all up. This is how the Astros operate. Jim Crane, he sees some team spending $700 million. He's not going to bend on this. This is how he wants to build his team. He doesn't want to give out these long deals. So get used to it, guys. I mean, we don't even talk about him anymore. Yuli Gurriel, that they were, oh, we're going to talk to Yuli in the offseason. Yeah, that never happened. They went and signed Jose Abreu, and he was gone too, because, you know, Abreu's there, 3-year contract. I know Yuli was a little longer in the tooth, but they were ready to move on. They don't really get nostalgic about these things. At least Jim Crane doesn't. So I'm sure Altuve's a little disappointed, but I guess it was nice when Peña came in that he kind of took Correa's spot, and you had some excitement, you know, something for the future. Where with Bregman, you know, you got Paredes coming in. You don't really have anything in the wings with these young guys. So I think it's the outfield that's probably got Altuve concerned the most. And then the big one coming down that I think we all know is coming down. what does this look like when Fromber's gone after this year? You know, are these young guys going to step up? Is Blanco going to be able to repeat the success he had last year? I think that's where Altuve will really feel it, is when Fromber leaves and Hunter Brown is the ace of your staff.
Because the Astros presently are still the favorite to win the American League West again in 2025. It's not like they turned into the Miami Marlins this offseason. Let me pitch this out just for consideration. It came to mind as Josh was talking. If somehow the Astros had the right to straight up void Jose Altuve's contract, and then Bregman takes the 6 years, $156 million. If you're the Astros, do you do that?
I think there would be a riot, quite frankly. I mean, it's Altuve is so beloved. And it's, I mean, Bregman's been a tentpole of this team. Altuve's been the face of this run. Josh, what do you think?
No, I just, even though we saw some decline from Altuve last year, he's still that guy that I want up in clutch situations, that I just count on Altuve even a little more than Bregman. I know Bregman's known for being clutch as well, but I think I'd rather have Altuve. But Charlie brings up a good point where they saw that decline in the defense. The offense wasn't quite what it was. And you're just now going into that new contract this upcoming season. So it is a little scary, but I think I'd rather have Altuve.
Altuve's almost 4 years older. Bregman turns 31 the end of March. Altuve turns 35 early in May. You know, I don't know whether Jose Altuve has thought about it. I hope when I'm 38, 39 years old, I'm not Craig Biggio of this generation with, of course, two World Series rings, but living in those moments that, yeah, we're building all our marketing around me chasing 3,000 hits while the team, ugh.
And we're all feeling that gloom of nostalgia lost. There's been a photo making the rounds on social media of a handshake line that was featuring Springer, Correa, Altuve, Bregman, and Tucker, and they're all gone except for Altuve. So that does hit right in the feels. You know, you talked about the Astros and their being favorites in the division. The Rangers have finally made some noise. Jake Berger, they brought in, trade away Nathaniel Lowe, signed Jock Peterson. Seattle has been quieter than a church mouse so far this offseason. Houston only won the division by 3.5 games over Seattle. Rangers could now be in the mix, or they hope to be more in the mix. Josh, you talked about, obviously, the deficiency at outfield here, but do you guys think that Houston has one more move in them that would make them a more definitive favorite in the West?
I think they're done. They're pretty close up against the tax threshold. I don't think they're going to want to go over it again. You got a ton of money coming off the books after this coming season. So now Crane will do some stuff and surprise you and go all in. Maybe that's something at the All-Star break. If something makes sense, maybe he would do it. But I think for this offseason right now, I think they're pretty set with what they're going to do, and they'll still compete. And I saw, you know, Ben Verlander put out a tweet comparing, you know, who has the better lineup, the Astros or the Yankees, with, you know, their new additions and our new additions. And, you know, it was, you know, a fair amount of people on one side, fair amount of people on the other. But I think it's a good thing that you're even talking about that it's close, because the Astros, I mean, you lose Tucker and Bregman in the same offseason, it's hard to, you know, think that they're going to be Yankees quality because of how much the Yankees spend. But they're in the ballpark. The infield's going to be really good. It's going to be about the outfield. But I don't think they're going to pull the trigger on another big move here. I think, man, that Josh Hader deal, I think that really is part of why they're going to be content to be where they are here. And, you know, Charlie talked about, could they get rid of, you know, the Altuve deal and sign Bregman? What do you think they would say privately about if they'd rather do the Hader deal again? I bet they have some buyer's remorse there.
If they can't offload at least a chunk of Ryan Pressly's $14 million, there's really not 2025 roster flexibility unless Jim Crane says, all right, we're going to pay the repeater penalty. We're going to go into the first tier tax threshold at least. They're only $4 or $5 million under it now. You need to account for room to take on a little bit of salary, a la Yusei Kikuchi. If late July you have a pressing need for a starting pitcher, or they're still chasing an outfielder. The Jock Peterson got 2 years, $37 million from the Rangers, whose overall payroll is in the general range of the Astros. Boy, if Yordan Alvarez could play left field on a regular, Peterson would have been a perfect fit. You know, left-handed bat, the guy clobbers right-handed pitching, but he's such a bad outfielder, he literally never played the outfield.
in 2023 for the Giants. But the Rangers got worse defensively, moving low off first base. They have questions in their starting rotation, starting with Jacob DeGrom. Their bullpen, Kirby Yates was awesome, free agent. David Robertson, their second best reliever, free agent. Jake Berger, 63 home runs the last 2 years, but low average, terrible on base percentage, terrible defender. And they added 150 more strikeouts to that lineup to go with Adolis Garcia right in the middle of it. So interesting. The Peterson ad is absolutely a fortification for them. I think real important for the Rangers. Evan Carter, the late season 2023 rookie phenom, 2024, he was terrible and then lost to a back injury. Wyatt Langford, the fourth pick in the draft, who rocketed to the majors from the University of Florida. He was in 2024. If those guys make quantum leaps forward, bad news for the Astros. But presently, the Astros still are. And for Astros fans, the understandable nostalgic feelings of, geez, the very best players, save Altuve, from the run. Now they're all gone. But this isn't James Harden and Russell Westbrook forcing their way up to the Rockets, who then become the worst team in the NBA over a three-year period. Right? The Astros, they're just merely a good team in the mix, but that's still better than the majority of teams. And you're not going to be a 100-win team year in, year out, endlessly, unless you're the Dodgers with their seemingly endless payroll resources.
I think they built a lot of this because of Altuve. He fell off a cliff defensively last year. So you go get somebody that's a gold glover to play first base that has a lot of range, then maybe you can do some more things on the right side of that infield, at least over the next 3 years that he's here. So I think that's part of it too. And the Arenado deal, clearly the Astros really value defense. That's really important to them. And Bregman was a great defender. So you add another great defender when he leaves. But once again, it's back to the outfield. What are you going to do out there? Because Tucker, you know, I know his metrics were up and down last year, but overall, he's a really good defensive outfielder as well. And with a nice arm, a much better arm than your other guys.
And in the end, to just tie back quickly to something you mentioned, Brandon, the Astros win enough, it's going to be fine. Fans will take to the new guys if they produce. Now, not the same way, unless you're winning at a World Series level, as the guys who grew up as Astros into the behemoth that they were for several years. But I would recommend Dana Brown to stop verbally getting out over his skis, because it ticks people off when you say Kyle Tucker is going to be an Astro for life. You know, a guy you drafted came up, became Alex Bregman, the same thing. Oh, he's our number one priority. We're very optimistic. Really? Why were you very optimistic? I think that was, you know, whether self-deception or just buying time in case they were able to sign him. But in the aftermath, I'm sure for a pretty good percentage of fans, you know, stop boy who cried wolfing me.
Josh, we were talking about it before we hit record. Not sure if we've brought it up since, but the Astros have the third best odds in the AL to make it to the World Series behind the Yankees and Orioles. It doesn't look like Fromber's going anywhere. Hunter Brown looked like a stud last season. Ken Blanco repeat his success from last season. Spencer Arrighetti had a feast or famine season. Can he take a step forward? What does Luis Garcia look like coming off of TJ? There's a decent chance that Houston looks like what it did last year, which was a really good pitching team and a pretty good offense. And that can win the West for you. And if you get hot in the right time, and Josh, you mentioned maybe Houston stands by and sees what the team looks like. Maybe they do have another move to them that's closer to the deadline to where they are buyers and can bring in a significant piece. So while it has been disappointing to see the core continue to be broken up, this team still is in a position to contend for the division and see what happens when they make it to the dance. And we will have to see what that looks like. And when we do, we hope you're watching and listening to Stone Cold Stros, because we're going to be covering it. And that's going to be it for this episode. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcasts on places like Apple or Spotify, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Charlie, Josh, and I will catch you next Monday for more off-season coverage, but you don't have to wait that long for your Houston sports fix. Make sure you subscribe to this channel, Sports Map Houston, with your notifications on as breaking news happens. We try to cover that in real time. And then our other channel, Sports Map Texans on YouTube. We're going to be live on Christmas after the game, so make sure you watch us after that. That's on our other channel, Sports Map Texans, so make sure you subscribe to that on our Texans on Tap podcast. Thanks for listening. Until next time, go Stros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.